Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you all in Toronto. We have not been here in person for a little while, and I have great memories of being here with you in the past. One of my favorite times was the Christmas music event that you folks would host here. And I remember the fabulous food, the games, and the prizes. I actually won one of the prizes myself, so maybe that's why we haven't been invited back. The most repeated command in the Bible, rejoice. Rejoicing is a prevalent theme in the Bible, as was evident from the hymns. And rejoicing is a command and is not optional. When God gives a command, he knows that we can do it. Rejoicing is an act of volition, which is to make a choice or a decision to rejoice. As from our reading, when we read the Law of Moses, we think of laws, rules, feasts, and sacrifices. The Jews say that there are 613 laws in the Mosaic Law. The law includes the Ten Commandments, the moral laws, social laws, food laws, and purity laws. Our minds might think that obeying the law is oppressing and a drudgery. To follow the law requires labor, toil, hard work, effort, and exertion. Have we ever stopped to think about how many times in the law and in the Bible that we are commanded to rejoice? In the chapter we read, Deuteronomy 16, did we notice how many times the nation was commanded to rejoice? If you counted like I did, there were three times where it occurred, during the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. In the verse highlighted in this slide, the nation is told, "Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto them." The people, the Levites, and the strangers with them all are commanded to rejoice. The Levites had hard physical work to do under the law, which may be why they had to retire at the age of 50. These Levites had to sacrifice many animals daily and during the feasts. Yet these Levites were instructed to rejoice. In addition to the commands in Deuteronomy to rejoice, there are numerous Bible verses that command us to have joy and rejoice. It is interesting to look at how many times the Bible commands us to rejoice. It is, in fact, the most repeated command in the Bible. In the Bible, the word rejoice means to feel or show great joy or delight, exuberance, exaltation, glory, triumph, and exaltation. And depending on which version of the Bible we use, the English Standard Version of the Bible, for example, uses the word joy, rejoice, and joyful 430 times. Rejoicing is a feeling and an act of obedience to our Heavenly Father. It is a feeling and an action. So God commands us to have a feeling. This might seem unusual to us. How can we make ourselves feel something? It reminds me of when my parents told me, "You're going to have a good time, and I mean it." God knows about the science of positive psychology and the science of happiness. There are physical and psychological advantages to rejoicing, being joyful and happy. In an article entitled "Six Ways Happiness is Good for Your Health," it has been proven that joy and good health go hand in hand. Scientific studies demonstrate what happens with happiness that can make our hearts healthier, our immune system stronger, and our lives longer. Thus, happiness results in better overall health. As well, a study highlighted that happiness predicts lower heart rate and lower blood pressure. In a study, participants who had rated themselves as happiest on the day their hearts were tested had a healthier pattern of heart rate variability on that day. In a 10-year Canadian study, researchers measured positive emotions like joy, happiness, excitement, enthusiasm, and contentment, and studied the positive emotions to coronary heart disease. The heart disease risk was 22% lower with the positive emotions. Do we know a grumpy person who always seems to be getting sick? That may be no coincidence. Research found a link between happiness and a stronger immune system. In one experience, adults volunteered to get exposed to the common cold. Before exposure, researchers tested for 9 positive emotions. After 5 days in quarantine, the participants with the most positive emotions were less likely to have developed the cold. In another study, researchers investigated why happier people might be less susceptible to sickness. Graduate students were given a hepatitis B vaccine and rated themselves on 9 positive emotions. The ones who were high in positive emotions had 2 times the high antibody response to the vaccine, a sign of a robust immune system. Positive emotions have a benefit on a cellular level in our bodies. Happiest participants in the study had lower levels of the stress hormone cortisol and the blood clotting protein that increases after stress, which was 12 times lower. Positive emotions have benefits even when stress is inevitable. Psychology students agreed to be submitted to stress, and in the wake of such stress, the hearts of the happiest students recovered most quickly. Other studies demonstrate that positive emotions reduce negative symptoms like muscle strain, dizziness, and heartburn. In one study, people who reported the highest levels of positive emotion at the beginning of the study became healthier over the course of the study and ended up healthier than their unhappy counterparts. The fact that their health improved over 5 weeks and the health of the unhappiest participants declined. Another study suggests that positive emotion reduces pain. Females with chronic pain rated themselves weekly on positive emotions for 3 months. Over the course of the study, those with higher ratings in emotions were less likely to experience increases in pain. Positive emotions are associated with improvements in more severe long-term conditions as well, not just short-term aches and pains. In an Australian study, participants who reported being happy were about 1.5 times less likely to have long-term health conditions. Another study in the same year found that women with breast cancer recalled being less happy before their diagnosis than women without breast cancer, suggested that the happiness and optimism may be protective against some diseases. As adults become elderly, a condition that often affects them is frailty, which puts them at risk for disability and death. In a 7-year study, participants with more positive emotion ratings were less likely to be frail and much stronger. In the end, an ultimate health indicator is longevity. In a famous study of happiness and longevity, the life expectancy of Catholic nuns was linked to the amount of positive emotion they expressed in an autobiographical essay they wrote upon entering their convent in their early 20s. The happiest seeming nuns, as judged by their essay, lived 7 to 10 years longer than the least happy. Overall satisfaction with life is an indicator of happiness, and this is linked to longevity. In addition to the health benefits of being joyful and happy, happy people have better relationships. higher productivity, are more successful and resilient, and they're more generous. They are kinder and go out of their way to help others. So when we look at a list like this, we conclude that there's no downside to being joyful, and we should all work on rejoicing more. God knows what is best for us, and this is the reason that he commands us to rejoice. And in 1 John, it states, his commandments are not burdensome, in 1 John 5 and 3. Let's look at the times in the Bible that commands the people to rejoice and the people in the Bible who rejoiced. In our reading from Deuteronomy 16, we read, the Feast of Weeks and Tabernacles were not a time for sadness, but rejoicing. They were to remember that they had been saved from Egypt. We can also follow this principle by remembering the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus with rejoicing. Let's not remember Jesus out of a sense of duty or habit, but let's be joyful when we do come together around the memorial table. The law reminded the nation that they had to share their blessings with the Levite, who had no inheritance, and the foreigners, who did not have inheritance as well. How easy it is for us to forget others when we are celebrating the good things that God gives us. We must also follow these principles outlined here to give, and when we give, we are to have joy in giving. It is interesting that Levite is linked with the stranger here. Naturally speaking, we might expect the people to treat Levites and foreigners differently. For example, giving more respect to the Levite while avoiding the stranger, they were to rejoice in giving to them all. In the Old Testament, in addition to rejoicing in the law, there are many examples of the Hebrews rejoicing. The slide highlights some of the rejoicing. The nation rejoiced in God because of his salvation. They rejoiced in his justice. They rejoiced in his protection. They rejoiced in his word. They also rejoiced in each other. They rejoiced in their children. And they rejoiced in wine. And rejoiced in an abundant harvest. And rejoiced in victory. And in giving an apt answer, which means that a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Right and wise words have the potential and power of bringing great joy. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. In the New Testament, the wise men came from the east to worship Jesus after he was born. The star took them exactly to the right place in Bethlehem. They went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. These men were watching for the birth of the Messiah. At the first sign in the sky, they set out to find him. They were overjoyed to see the star. They were excited. We can imagine that they possibly were jumping up and down for joy, singing and shouting, and with great joy on their faces, for they were rejoicing. We are looking for Jesus to return. When Jesus returns, Matthew says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Let us also be like the wise men and rejoice at the time of the signs of Jesus' return. We will be overjoyed to see Jesus, and we will rejoice. Let us look at how we can rejoice when things aren't going so well in our lives. The best biblical example is that of the Apostle Paul. Paul was falsely accused in Jerusalem. Those who hated Paul saw him at the temple in Jerusalem, and said wrongly that he brought Gentiles into the part of the temple area where Gentiles were forbidden. This was untrue, and the Jews stirred up a riot against the Apostle Paul. The mob finally laid their hands on Paul and drug him out of the temple. And they began to beat him, and the Roman army shows up and rescues Paul, saving his life. For Paul's safety, he is taken by at least 200 Roman soldiers to Caesarea. Paul spends time in an hired house in Caesarea while under arrest, about 2 years as he awaits his trial. Then Paul is taken by boat to Rome and is again jailed in Rome in a hired house. While in a hired house in Rome, Paul preaches and writes. He writes the prison epistles to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians, and Philemon. No matter how bad his circumstances are, Paul still has rejoicing and shows joy. His joy is not based on circumstance. Paul continues to spread the gospel in prison and encourages new ecclesias. Paul made a conscious decision to be joyful. He is an amazing example for us who rejoiced while suffering. Some of you may know that I was recently in the hospital due to a fall that resulted in a major head injury. Between you and me, it was difficult for me to rejoice while suffering. Hospitals are not places to rest. The food was challenging, and my stay featured hollering roommates in the middle of the night, one from jail who was chained to a bed. My role model should have been the Apostle Paul, who rejoiced in his time of suffering. Rejoice in the Lord always is a command given in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul says it is possible to rejoice in the Lord always. In this chapter, there is a discussion on division, and rejoicing is the antidote to division. Paul and Silas rejoiced and sang hymns while in the Philippian jail. Rejoicing always demonstrates an unusual view of life and demonstrates the mind of Christ. The Philippian believers could have felt discouraged due to Paul's imprisonment and the possibility of his death and friction within the ecclesia. To counteract this attitude, Paul prescribed rejoicing in the Lord, which gives inner peace and joy. So we see that Paul did not have an easy life when he preached the gospel. He was thrown in jail, shipwrecked, beaten to the point of death, threatened by robbers. The last 2 years of his life, Paul was chained to a guard as a prisoner. Yet Paul maintained his joy. In Galatians, Paul tells us how to maintain our joy by avoiding 17 works of the flesh. These steal our joy, or can be called joy stealers. Some of the works of the flesh are listed on the slide. Jealousy, hatred, strife, and divisions. We need to work together to avoid these works and practice rejoicing. Let's conclude with suggestions about how to rejoice. This slide lists a number of strategies to help us to rejoice. First, we need to make a conscious decision in our lives to rejoice. Each day we can wake up and think about all that we have to rejoice about, the great many blessings that we do have from God. In Thessalonians, we are told to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. We should delight in God, trust God, thank God, and pray. We need to learn to be content, guard our thoughts, recognize our privilege, read the Bible, meditate on God's word. We need to cast our cares upon our Heavenly Father and find joy in one another and practice gratitude. Also, sometimes the choice to rejoice might go against how we feel. To rejoice in the Lord is not only a matter of feeling, but also of obedience. We have looked at how our life is better with rejoicing in it. We have seen how much rejoicing there is in the Bible. And we have presented how we can be more joyful. Our hope is for the coming kingdom, where there will be no more sorrow, brokenness, and pain, and will be a time of great rejoicing. Let us start practicing rejoicing in our lives now. We are about as joyful as we choose to be. And let's make the answer now and rejoice. Thank you very much for listening.